we're leading the programme with the Belfast Telegraph's exclusive this morning, which is on their front page. It's an exclusive by Yvette Shapiro. The headline, Basil McRae, Why I'm Quitting Politics. Yvette Shapiro is the journalist who got the story. I've been speaking to her just before we came on air.
Well, Basil was, I suppose, a little bit more subdued than he had been when I met him exactly 2 weeks ago, because at that stage he had the report in his hands, a sort of an advanced copy of it. He felt that it cleared him, it exonerated him, and he was really quite bullish, and he was talking about, I'm going to run for the seat, I'm going to keep the seat. When I saw him yesterday, it was in the Mac, which was the location where he launched NI21 with John McAllister. So it was kind of ironic to be back. He was much quieter, much more subdued, quite reflective. And I suppose, actually, I felt a bit of a weight off his shoulders. He'd made this decision at the weekend. He'd been out for one of his long bike rides. He'd been talking to the family. He has elderly parents. He has a partner, grown-up children. And I think all of them had been saying to him, Basil, enough's enough. We've all been under an awful lot of pressure. It's not just you. And indeed, he did accept that. But he said, no man is an island and you have to take counsel from those who are close to you. So I think the decision was made by him, but I think he had a lot of influence from the family on that.
So he made the decision just at the weekend of it. Changed his mind? Because this is a man, clearly over recent weeks, who's been out there fighting to save his political career.
Indeed, Stephen, he was leafleting around the Lagan Valley area with his NI21 leaflets mail shot as recently as Friday afternoon. He was actually out with some of his party workers putting leaflets through letterboxes. So I think he said that, you know, since the publication of the report and there was the interview on The View, which by anybody's account went very badly for him, I think he was quite bruised by that. He wouldn't talk about it yesterday. He said he didn't want to discuss things that had been in the media, and he didn't want to talk about the individuals in the report who'd been named, those who'd made complaints and so on. But he just said, you know, a lot of people in his family were very hurt and upset by some of the reaction. He had thought, some of them had thought, that would be the end of the matter whenever Bain's report came out and it cleared him. And it wasn't clearly the end of the matter. Other people were still asking questions. And I think all of it really has piled on. And when it came to the weekend, I think it was probably a big heart-to-heart with family members, and he just decided, I'm going to cut my losses and go. He still thinks he could win the seat if he had gone. He still thinks he could have retained it. He had a fairly sizeable vote there the last time. He came second, Edwin Poots. But, of course, we don't know how the electorate would have reacted to him, and we'll never know.
And so what was the mood of Basil McRae when you met him yesterday? Did he seem like he had a weight lifted off his shoulders? You know, this is a political career gone now. Did he seem sad about that?
No, he didn't. I wouldn't have said sad. He seemed to me fairly philosophical about it. You know, he just kept saying that he had given his all. He was leaving with his head held high. He does feel he's made a contribution, but he's deeply frustrated at the political system. And, of course, that line isn't new. We've heard that from others in the smaller parties. And as he says, smaller parties are sniping on the sidelines. The big two are controlling the political system. And he feels there would be no change, even if he was elected again. He actually said he would have been ignored, sidelined, that he wouldn't even have got speaking time in the Assembly, that you can't make a difference. Nobody wants to be chaff in the wind, I think was one of his stronger lines. And I think he felt there's no point in me going on, even if I go through all of this and I struggle back in. You know, I'm going to be a bit of a nobody in there. And I think Basil McRae, you've met him, you've interviewed him a lot. He doesn't want to be a nobody.
And finally, did he give any indication as to what he will do next?
No, I mean, he told me that he has a background in science. He's a chemical engineer. He actually used to work in the Mars bar factory in Slough. So we've all enjoyed some of his handiwork in his previous career. He is fascinated by science, the arts. He enjoys political debate. Of course, as you know, he has his Periscope social media channel that he's broadcasting on from his living room every evening. So I don't think we've heard the last of him. I think he will seek some sort of role where he can still contribute to political debate. He'd maybe be wanting to be a pundit on your programme and others. And I think he'd maybe try and seek something within public life, even within maybe higher education. He's been very active in that sphere, and I think we'll not see the end of him.
Yvette Shapiro, thank you very much indeed. So that's an exclusive with the Belfast Telegraph this morning. We can maybe get your reaction today. 03030 80 55 55. The commentator Alex Kane with us today. The newsletter Sam McBride with us too. So he's gone, Alex.
He's gone, Stephen. Good morning. Morning, Sam. I think there was an inevitability about this, Stephen. Just looking at it from the party political stuff, forget the, you know, the past couple of weeks, which I know must have been dreadful for him. But it was quite clear within a matter of months that NI21 had huge problems with John and Basil personally. I talked to you about it at the time. Their former chairman, Tina McKenzie, has confirmed all the things that, you know, those of us who had pointed out what was happening, that there were huge difficulties there. I think the party had collapsed anyway. There was no future for it. So I'm not surprised. There's no party machine, very few party members, no money in the kitty. I think he has been badly bruised. I know people who are close to him say he was particularly badly bruised after the Carruthers interview in The View. So, yeah, I think the only sad thing in this, in one sense, is at the time, as you know, I wrote quite recently, and Sam will know this, I had been asked right at the beginning of NI21 to sit in on some of their early meetings to give some general advice about problems they might face, a new party would face. And I saw a lot of young people at the launch, even 500 people, most of them young people, new faces I'd never seen before in politics. And even an old cynic like me thought, maybe there's just a chance something good can develop. But as I say, it just collapsed within a matter of months. It almost bare naked hatred between two men who'd been former friends. And that's probably the most tragic aspect of all of this.
Sam?
I think that is right. And I think that Basil McRae and John McAllister, but Basil McRae in particular as the leader of NI21 and as its public face, has to take some responsibility for that. NI21 did attract a crowd of people who had been completely cut off from politics in Northern Ireland. I think it had, for all its faults, a very considerable degree of potential. And up to now, really, I suppose he has tried to blame lots of other people for that. But ultimately, he was the leader. He had complete control, and certainly in terms of his leadership style, it's very clear that he was the person who was taking all of the key decisions there. And really, it ended up as a very embarrassing situation for almost anybody who was involved in it, and has put other people off, I think, trying to do anything similar.
We did ask Basil McRae to come on the programme this morning. He said he doesn't want to do so. He said he's giving no media interviews today. So is this it? Is this the last time we've heard from him, Sam?
I'm sure that's not the case. I mean, the one thing about Basil McRae is that he is very forthright with his opinions. He's not afraid to speak his mind. And his greatest strength was always his abilities, I suppose, as a PR man. And we saw that over even the last couple of weeks in terms of how this report came out. I mean, he was very clever, I think, in how he presented that. He had an advanced copy of the report. He was out there before anybody else had a copy of the report, and it was running to over 1,000 pages. So really, before anybody could get into the detail of it, he was out there saying, I've been exonerated. I want to fight for my political career. And I think some people in Lygon Valley, some of his constituents, might be a bit confused about that, because in the space of just 2 weeks, we've gone from that. And also from after the Doyle elections, where independents had done quite well, Basil McRae was quite vocal to say that he thought the future of politics potentially was more independents, and yet now he's saying that independents can't make a difference. There's really no point being there. I mean, it does seem like he's had a really radical change of opinion over the space of a little more than 2 weeks.
And do you think, Alex Kane, finally he will be a loss to politics?
Oddly enough, Stephen, yes, I think he will. I mean, I worked with Basil fairly closely when he first got involved. I was still in the Ulster Unionist Party when he was first elected. I think he first cold-called me about 2005 at the time of that general election when he was standing in Lygon Valley. And in fairness to him, and Sam will know this as well, there is huge talent there. He thinks fast in his feet. There's a charm. There's a strong personality. The problem is, and I say this as someone who did work with him, he was always reluctant to take guidance or always reluctant to take a steer from anyone. people might have said gently, look, Baz, I wouldn't do that, or maybe don't get involved in that. And a couple of times, Stephen, I even remember telling him not to go on your programme. You know, said, Basil, don't.
Thanks very much.
I know exactly where Stephen's planning to take you on this particular thing. And half an hour later, I'd be sitting in my office going, oh, for God's sake, why? I knew Stephen was going to. So, yeah, things like that. So, yes, he's 56, 57 years old. He's got talent. He's going to be bruised. He's going to still have a few questions hanging over him. At some point, I think what he'll do, I think there'll be a recovery strategy. I think he will do, maybe with you or someone else, he will do a big interview. He will set out everything that's happened, where he stands, why he really made the decisions, how he feels. And at that point then, it's going to be up to the media, up to the general public, up if he's looking for work somewhere, it's going to be up to people to make the decision on him at that stage. But I think for the next, certainly until after the election's out of the way, maybe May, June, I think if he's wise, he'll take a few weeks, do no interviews, just settle back. Because face it, to all intents and purposes, from the end of next week, whenever the assembly closes, Stephen, he is unemployed. And that's a big step for anyone at his. I mean, I gave up my full-time job, you know, 6 years ago to go into what I'm doing now. Basil's going to, in essence, have to reinvent himself. And that's a big task.
OK, Alex Kane, Sam McBride, thank you very much indeed. Basil, as I say, we did invite him onto the programme today. In terms of questions hanging over him, Basil would very much say, look, the report came out, absolutely. Cleared him of any allegations. I guess some of the questions people will have is he was leafleting a couple of weeks ago, as Yvette Shapiro was telling us. What changed his mind about getting out of politics? 9:15, 0-30-30-80-55-55. Stephen and Derry. Morning, Stephen.
Morning, Stephen.
Go ahead, Stephen.
Well, of a politician who's disillusioned with politics, how does the ordinary person feel in the street about the care of what's going on at the moment? I think the independents have led the way in the South and they've come out in strength and their force and put their case forward. And the Southern governments have paid the price for it. And I hope the same happens up here in the six counties.
You said the same go?
Well, it's you know, under circumstances like that, it's regrettable. Of course it is. But I think he should have been a better man in it than to walk away from it.
So you think he should have toughed it out?
Well, you know the old saying, if you get knocked down, what's the first thing you do? You get back up again. Mm.